Do you ever feel like your to-do list is running your life instead of the other way around? I see you, powerhouse, and I'm here to help you regain your sanity. As a busy wife, mom, and entrepreneur myself, my to-do list seemed never-ending. In fact, I often had multiple, not to mention that nagging feeling of never getting enough things crossed off. The overwhelm was constantly churning in my head. That is until I started utilizing the brain dump. That's right. This simple yet strategic exercise completely transformed my life. And I've started sharing it with my clients and it's transformed theirs as well. So I have to share it with you, my audience. That's why I'm so excited to introduce the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done, a game-changing ebook that is about to revolutionize the way you tackle tasks. My transformative method empowers you to banish the chaos and overwhelm and learn how to offload your mental clutter onto paper and provide a clear roadmap for action and success. This is not your typical productivity guide. No, no. It's a revolutionary approach for the fearless female lawyer who's ready to break free from overwhelm and reclaim her powerhouse status. So what are you waiting for? Say hello to a more organized and focused you. Grab your copy of the Powerhouse Brain Dump, a better way of getting shit done today by clicking on the link in the show notes or go to directly to erangerner.com.
So we have to honor ourselves first and always know that nobody's going to take away your education. No one's going to take away your degrees. We get to leverage them and get really creative on how we can use them.
You are more than a lawyer. You are a powerhouse. Welcome to Powerhouse Lawyers. I'm your host, Erin Gerner, a former lawyer, wife, mom, entrepreneur, and coach. And I'm here to show you what's possible. So if you're ready, let's go. Hey, powerhouses. Welcome back to the show. I'm so excited about today's episode because honestly, my guest's story resonates so much with me and my journey of becoming a lawyer and leaving the law. And she is someone else who just did a piece out of her law job, much like me, which again, we've said is a 1 out of 10 recommend. But it was so nice to talk to her to almost hear a version of myself in her, because there is so much of our identity that we tie to being a lawyer and then what that means when you leave the profession. And there's a lot of inner work that has to go on there because we really strongly tie our identity to becoming a lawyer. And when you leave the practice of law, like that, something that you've worked so hard for, that you've put in so many hours for, that a lot of people are proud of you for, that, you know, they're talking and all these kind of things. And when you decide to walk away from that, it feels like you're disappointing not only yourself, but other people, which is not true, right? But we have to do the inner work on ourselves to figure out who we are outside of being a lawyer. And my friend Nav, who's going to talk to you guys next, is the perfect person to do that. And I'm really excited for you guys to hear what she has to say. So if you are a lawyer right now who is sitting in a job and you feel incredibly misaligned, I know exactly what that feels like, that feeling of just dread of going to work every single day. I hope that this podcast gives you not only just a little bit of hope, but I also hope that it gives you connection and knowing that you're not alone and that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not the first person who's felt this way, that it is completely normal to, you know, end up in a place where you didn't mean to be, but there is a different and better way. That's what this podcast is for. That's why I bring guests like Nav on to show you and through stories and their tips and their experiences of how they have transformed their lives. So, powerhouse, you are not alone. There is nothing wrong with you. And there is a different and better way. So enjoy the episode. Hey, powerhouses. Welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have my sweet friend Navneet on the show. We have connected over LinkedIn, which is like, obviously, I say it all the time. It's like my secret playground where I find the most badass, amazing female lawyers. And we've just connected and we are definitely kindred spirits. So Navneet Mann, welcome to the show. She is a lawyer turned transformational coach for women. After experiencing severe burnout and misalignment herself as a lawyer, she knows exactly what it's like to be miserable in your career while searching for what's next. She has a passion for helping others, and she went to become a certified coach to help support unfulfilled female lawyers who are ready for change. Nav helps her clients discover their passion, purpose, and unique essence in order to plan their pivot out of law so they can do the work that lights their soul on fire. Welcome to the show, Nav. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here, Erin.
Yay. Okay. So take our listeners back to the beginning, because obviously you have not always been a transformational coach for lawyers. And first of all, it just resonates so much with the work that you are doing. Thank you for the work that you are doing. There are just not enough of us out there yet who are empowering female lawyers who want different, better, more. But tell us a little bit about your journey. Why did you go to law school and how have you come full circle by becoming a coach?
Wow. Okay. First of all, yeah, I completely agree. There aren't enough people talking about this. I think there is still this stigma around being unfulfilled in a high-level career and then actually exiting that career. It can be very daunting. So for me, that was not in the cards. That's not where I thought I was going to end up. I became a lawyer, much like many of us, because I thought I wanted to help people. And that's that it felt like a very aligned path to be able to support other people. I always imagined myself working for the UN and doing, like, you know, work for human rights and supporting people around the world and giving people a voice who don't have one and all of this stuff. And of course, when I was younger, I was told I talk a lot and I should become a lawyer. So that's what I did. And getting there, I think the journey was probably more exciting than the actual outcome and being a lawyer. It was something that I thought I wouldn't be able to do. Honestly, I was pretty intimidated by going to law school and all of that. But once I got there and I started to kind of see the world around me, already in law school, I was getting an inkling that maybe this isn't for me. And even some of my not my colleagues, who the people I went to law school with.
Yes, who are those? Classmates is classmates. What we call those people.
What do you call them? That's so funny. So,
how many lawyers does it take to remember? See, that's how scarred we are by this process, you guys.
Exactly. Or how long it's been also, right?
Exactly. Yes.
My mind goes to colleagues, but so many of my classmates would say the same thing. Like, I don't really see you working for somebody else or kind of going through the grind in this type of way. But I thought I still would. So I got to the working world and started to realize really quickly that it wasn't necessarily aligned with me. And mind you, law was not my first career. I've had career jobs before. I was in banking. I've done a lot of work prior to law. So I was kind of an older student, so to speak. But it was just something about the process and the bureaucracy of being a lawyer and being in that setting that was just rubbing me the wrong way. I thought that it was going to be something where I would have this direct impact and I would get to help people. And at least in my experience, it was more about filling the pockets of the law firm and billable hours and grinding rather than doing meaningful work. And I think that's what bothered me the most. So, you know, I spent a few years bouncing around and trying to find my footing. I thought maybe it's just this area of law. Maybe it's just this law firm. Maybe it's just this or that, right? All of the external stuff, trying to resolve this discomfort I started to feel. So that took a couple of years. And eventually what happened was that discomfort started to grow so much and it couldn't be ignored. And I started to develop this almost like panic attacks, but it was like this, I couldn't breathe. That's what was happening. I'd be sitting at work and gasping for air at my desk. And it happened once, and then it happened again. And, you know, it was a couple of hours apart. And then eventually it started happening every day, every 15 minutes. You know, I'm at work and it's just, I'm gasping for air. And that's a really scary feeling when you're just so, it's so foreign what's happening. So I was experiencing this. I told my boss that this was happening and he laughed. He thought it was funny. He just thought it's a young lawyer feeling stressed out. And he literally laughed in my face, which I thought was crazy. I couldn't even believe that, you know, I'm going through this very serious and scary thing. Potentially my health could be impacted and you're laughing. So one of the days after experiencing this for a few days, I went and saw my doctor during lunch. I needed to go right away. And my doctor, being amazing, didn't want to take any chances and was quite worried, actually. And he sent me for an ECG to get my heart tested during lunch. And I was like, holy shit. But that was like this aha moment. Like, I'm sitting here in a clinic with all of these wires attached, getting my heart tested during a lunch break in my navy blue skirt suit. Are you freaking kidding me? Is this my life right now? And that was my wake up moment. So eventually what happened was I ended up leaving that firm cold turkey. I didn't have a plan. I just needed to get out because it was impacting my health so much that I needed an escape. So during that time where I just walked out and walking up and down the streets of Vancouver, kind of figuring out what the heck I just did, and waking up every morning, staring at the blank white walls, like, what am I going to do now? And I'm somebody, Erin, that I've worked since I was 12 years old, almost. Like, I've always worked during summers, during high school, all of that. So it was really foreign to me to not be working. And at that time where I was feeling lonely and scared and like, I've just messed up my entire life, I was looking for motivation. So I was watching TED Talks every single day. I was jumping on YouTube, watching TED Talks, watching any kind of motivational speakers that could help me understand what's happening and give me some direction. And then I saw this woman on a TED Talk and she kind of looked like me. She could be of some sort of South Asian descent. And she was speaking about how powerful your mind is and your thoughts are and how your thoughts can change your life and all of this stuff that right now it runs in my veins. But back then, this was like 2018. I had no idea what it was. It's like, what is she talking about? I got so intrigued that I just started to dive into all of this work that she was sharing. And she herself was a coach. And at that time, coaching was not as prominent as it is now. I had no idea what coaching was. I had no clue how to get there. But I found her and I realized that she had a coaching program. So I joined the program and there started my journey of this transformational work because it was so transformative to me and it helped me really step into my power and develop this sense of confidence and acceptance of myself and not judge myself anymore. And it gave me the clarity of what I actually wanted to do. So I still ended up helping people, but just in my own way. And fast forward, I mean, there's been a lot of ups and downs. I actually did end up going back to law while I was getting certified as a coach just to support myself. And, you know, second time was a charm. I really realized this time that it was not it for me. I needed to go back there just to get knocked down again and realize that that's not my jam. So anyways, in 2021, I left law for good to pursue my coaching practice and help people who have been in those shoes that really feel directionless and feel alone and feel afraid and are ready to make a move. So I help them create that pivot plan.
That's amazing. And I just want you to know that I resonate with so much of your story because when I left the law, I left cold turkey too. Like I like literally peaced out of the job. Yeah. I mean, there's a long story and I've told it on other podcasts, but it was basically like one of those moments where I was like, I cannot do this anymore. Like I absolutely cannot do this anymore. And I left. And it's funny, you said you were kind of like walking up and down the streets of Vancouver, wondering what you were going to do with your life. And I don't know if this resonates with you, but like that was a really difficult time for me, is trying to separate my identity
Oh, yeah.
Who I was outside of my job, because I'm sure pretty much like you, you thought by just walking out the door and ripping off the Band-Aid that that was going to solve the problem. Like if I just leave what the pain point is right now, then I'm going to feel better. Well, the relief, as we know, is only temporary because the work is inner. So does that resonate with you? Because I'm sure that resonates with other lawyers, this whole identity piece of how strongly we attach our identity to our actual job.
It resonates with me so, so, so deeply. And it wasn't until about 2020 that I started to understand identity work. That was with a coach that I worked with. And when he started to talk about the subconscious identity that we have and who we're being and how we show up in the world, that's when I started to put the pieces together and think, holy crap, my entire identity has been just what the outer world sees. And I've never even understood who I am if I strip away these titles and these roles that we play. And that's part of the deep work that I do with clients now. In fact, we spend a lot of time working on that identity piece because most people are almost blind to it. We don't even know because it's just running in the background on autopilot. So it deeply resonates with me. I had no idea who I was without all of this. And I think that's what makes people so afraid to make a pivot is because it's too scary and uncomfortable to start to unravel those status pieces, those identities that we have taken on and the masks that we wear. And what happens when I take off this mask? What is the world going to see? What am I going to see? Who am I going to be? Am I starting all over? It's confronting, but it is so liberating. Like you get to create the identity that you want. You get to be the person who you always were, the person that you suffocated for so long trying to fit into this goddamn box that was never meant for you, right?
Oh my gosh. Yes, it is. It's actually the most freeing thing I've ever done in my life. Like it was some of the hardest work, but I'm so glad that I did that because I don't want to pass that down to my kids either. You know, like that was the biggest thing. Like you're not what you do. Like your worth has nothing to do with that. But as high achievers, we so strongly identify and connect our worth with what we achieve. And once we've achieved to a certain point, i.e. we've gotten the law degree and now we're sitting in the chair practicing law, it's like not until that point you go, well, wait, is this what I even wanted to begin with? Like it's crazy. Right. So, but I do want to ask you because you and I, you know, talked about this a little bit when we connected, but talk about being a woman of color in not only the legal profession, but talking about walking away from this prestigious job, because we didn't even really get into that, but I'm sure that that has a lot of layers for you. And I know that that probably resonates with some people who are listening. So I'd love if you would share if you're comfortable.
Of course. Yeah. I think that it's such a great question because we do face different types of challenges based on our backgrounds and how we got to where we are. So I'm a first generation Canadian. My parents immigrated to Canada when they were in their late teenage, early adult years and kind of built their lives from scratch. So growing up, what I always would hear from my family, my extended family, my grandparents was always get an education. Like nobody can take your education away from you. Get an education, get a good job, an office job, they would say. So you're not struggling like how we did because my dad is blue collar. My mom was a homemaker and, you know, we grew up very middle class. They provided everything that they could, but very humble beginnings. So in my mind, it was always this narrative that if I have an education and I have a quote unquote good job that pays me well, then I will be happy. That's all I need. And then my parents' struggles will all be worth it because they came here not really knowing the language, not knowing the culture, having to kind of give up their roots to come to a foreign country where they don't quite fit in, right? And growing up, I mean, I experienced a lot of that prejudice and racism because I looked different. So it was it's always been this duality of trying to fit into my heritage, but also the culture that I grew up in. And, you know, again, identity, like, who am I really? So climbing up this ladder and being able to get a law degree and and get these positions where now I am in these beautiful offices and working downtown. And I've got this, like, you know, lifestyle, which on the outside looks amazing. A lot of people don't recognize the internal struggles that come with that when you so blatantly look different and you are different. So not only was I a person of color, not only was I a woman, but I was also one of the youngest people in the room every time. And the way the system, especially in the legal world, is created, it really does favor the white man in the corner office, right? And let's just call a spade. It is very predominantly dominated by old white men, and they have a certain way of doing things. So it is already a struggle for women. And then we see a lot of women who do make it to the top who feel like they need to take on these masculine characteristics and become more like the men so they can fit in and have a voice at the table. And here I was kind of struggling with that, sometimes leaning into that masculine, sometimes feeling like I just want to be like myself. And I mean, the amount of chatter and prejudice and bullying and harassment that I experienced in law, like we haven't even scratched the surface of how people think they can treat you because they think that you are less than. And that is what it comes down to.
That's literally a whole nother podcast. Like, that's a whole nother podcast. We may have to circle back to that.
I think so. I think that that's something that we'll need to dive into more deeply, because there are a lot of wounds there and there is a lot of struggle still. And, you know, recently I saw somebody posted on LinkedIn that there are more women that are now becoming associates. And I think the number of law students, women have surpassed men for the first time in a long time. And it was actually, anyways, it doesn't matter who posted it, but what the conversation was about was, yes, we see women, but now we're seeing a lot of white women. So where are the women of color? Where's their representation, right? There's still this struggle and this uneven divide that we see. And we would be naive to think that everybody has the same experiences, because they don't. So being able to accomplish this status was such a big deal. My family was so proud, so excited, like just, you know, like ear to ear smiles. They could not be more proud of their daughter, and announcing it to anyone that would listen. Our daughter is a lawyer, right? And like, it was amazing. So when I'm going through this internal struggle, it wasn't just my struggle. It was also the struggle of my parents who came to this country and did so much for me to have this opportunity that I'm now feeling like I'm kicking away, even though I knew that wasn't the case. So me having to process that internally was very emotional. It was very difficult. It required just so much introspection and understanding of who I am. Like, they did not give up all of this for me to be miserable, for me to be sick, for me to be stressed 24/7. They gave it up for me to have a good life. So they equated success with happiness. And they had no idea that's not the formula. So when I walked away from that prestigious career, I knew that it was going to be hurtful to people around me, because they were attached to this in a way as well. But my parents were so supportive, and I'm so grateful. Like, everybody in my life was so incredibly supportive, because they wanted me to do what makes me happy. And that did make things a little bit easier for me. But I think it's hard enough for a woman of color to accomplish this and then to walk away. You don't see very many people doing that. And I've had Indian women who have reached out to me and have said, hey, like, you're so brave and you have so much courage. I wish I could do that, but I can't, because it would crush my parents. Or what would I do instead? I finally made it here. You know, so we still have this internal belief that we need to stick by something just because society standard is that is the epitome of success. And from there, where else would I go? I don't have the blueprint after that level of success, you know?
Mm-hmm. What would you say to her? What would you say to that woman that says, like, I can't do that because I'm afraid of what my parents would say. I'm afraid of what society would think. I'm afraid of what, like, everyone in my, like, surroundings would say. Yeah. Like, what would you say to her?
Just that there are so many layers to this, right? And I've had countless conversations with these women who have reached out to me, and I'm grateful that they do, because at least they're opening up to somebody. So I always say, you need to first be honest with yourself. We need to own how we're feeling in order to create any kind of change. we also need to think about longevity and long-term happiness, right? Because success is not just monetary success. Success is also being able to balance your wellness, your relationships, your joy, and being the type of person who you truly are proud of and are happy to be. And oftentimes I just ask them to reflect on how they show up in the rest of their life. And what they say is, I'm frustrated. I'm always stressed out. I snap at people around me. I don't even want to show up at gatherings or with my friends because I don't feel good. I'm constantly stressed and miserable. And I say, okay, well, is this what you want for the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Is this what you want your daughters to see, your children to see? Right. So we have to honor ourselves first and always know that nobody's going to take away your education. No one's going to take away your degrees. We get to leverage them and get really creative on how we can use them. Like, look at you, Erin. You're not practicing as a lawyer, but you're helping so many women and so many lawyers develop what they need. Right. And there, we can get very creative with what we already have under our belt if we allow ourselves to. So part of the work I do is helping people understand what it is that, you know, what are their gifts? What are their passions? What do they bring to the world? How do they want to help people? What impact do they want to make, right? So we work on a lot of that. And once you start to dig into that and explore, actually, you'll notice that a lot of those fears start to dissipate, right? A lot of the worry about what are other people going to think just no longer matters because you become so aligned with who you are and where you want to be and the contribution you're going to make from that place of alignment rather than a place of stress and misery is going to be tenfold.
It's like when you move that massive boulder out of the way a little bit and you can just see like the light a little bit, it's like, okay, I can do this, right? It's like once one of those fears is dispelled and you realize that it's literally just a lie and a story that you've been telling yourself, right? Like, what other people think is none of your business and they're not paying you. But like, you know, like all of the things you and I know, like as, you know, like common sense, like our common sense, right? Because we're in this world all the time, but we have to go back to like the beginning when we knew nothing and just dispelling one of those fears for lawyers at a time and just like, you know, throwing the rope back and just showing them a new perspective in a new way is everything because we are in 2024. There are so many different ways to practice law, to go law adjacent, to do a combination of everything. I mean, what lawyers, many of us don't, or we forget what we forget is the creativity has been snuffed out of us for so long because there's no creativity in the law. I mean, you taking creative writing, legal creative writing? No, no one's doing that, right? No. So you are just, you've been thinking so linearly, is that even a word, for so long?
I think so.
No, we just make it up. It's fine. But you've never thought outside of the box, right? You've never been able to even acknowledge those creative things that you're like, oh, I'm really good at that. Or I'm really like, I enjoy that because either you don't have time to enjoy it. You forgot that you enjoyed it. Someone told you that you didn't have time for it, right? Like all these things, mm-hmm. but you're allowed the space to actually think and feel about what feels good, what you like to do, what people are always coming to you for, like, what are the things that people are always asking you to do? Who are you? Right. What are you in people's lives? Like, start thinking about that in a more creative way. So I would love, actually, if you would give us some examples, because I mean, obviously you didn't go from this overnight. So what are some things that have worked for you in this transformational process that you would like to share with the listeners?
What you said is very, very relevant is getting creative. And I think that word can be so foreign for lawyers because we're so used to things being this or that and nothing in between. I used to think creativity was some sort of like, a, you know, idea up here that was not available to me when I was a kid. You know, I had all these creative thoughts and I would do art and all of that, but I just lost that. So get curious, get really curious about the things that matter to you. If you are somebody who is sitting in a job listening right now, hating what you're doing and don't want this for the next one or two decades of your life, then you need to start to explore who you really are. You need to ask yourself the hard questions. you need to see what pieces of your work feel grossly misaligned with you. These are all of the things that I had to do. I was listening to podcasts, walking to work, walking back from work. This went on for months and months and months, where I was trying to understand what it is that I could change in order to actually be happy. So it does require work. I never recommend people quit cold turkey, because that is so dysregulating to the nervous Me system. Either. You know, even though we've both done it, it's not fun. Not. Don't do it. I always say that, just give yourself some space. And if you are in a place where it's just not safe for your well-being, then sure, you know, make a pivot, do what feels good to you. But I talk a lot about intentional pivots. So that's what I think is the most important thing, is intentionality. And for me, what I did was really explore who I was and the things I was good at. I think you asked a question about how do you help people? What do people come to you for? What I did, which is an exercise that I love to give my clients, is I messaged 5 to 7 people who were from different parts of my life. So friends that have known me for a very long time, my partner, work colleagues, friends that don't know me that well, or know me from, say, the coaching world or different places. And I asked them, what is it that you think that I do really well, like better than other people?
My idea. You know? You are the second person I have heard suggest do that. That's brilliant. Yeah. Anyway, continue. I love this.
Yeah. So I did it in the very, very beginning of my journey. One of my coaches recommended something similar. And over time, I've kind of revamped this exercise. I call it the Ask 5 exercise, which is ask 5 people from, you know, different parts of your life. And so what do you think I do better than anybody else? What is it that, like, what value do I bring to your life? What would you come to me for and trust me for? And just starting to understand how other people view me. And what would come up for me quite a bit was, you're a great listener. You always make me feel seen. I love talking to you. You connect so well. It's easy for me to get along with you. You're so great at helping me work through my problems whenever I'm, you know, struggling with something. You never judge. It was all of these things that so perfectly fit into the coaching space and the work that I wanted. I hadn't yet decided what direction I was going to go in, but it felt so aligned. So it's not that we create our direction based on what the outside world is telling us. It's that it gives us a mirror to look into, and then to understand what parts of this feel really good to me. If somebody said, you're the best lawyer I've ever seen, I wasn't just going to be like, okay, I should stay in law because this one person had this opinion. Of course, it needs to resonate with you. And in conjunction with that, one of the most important things that I can ever share or teach anybody is understanding your core values, really looking deeply into who you are and what makes you you. And this isn't just, I value my family, I value this. It's not that. It's, who am I? What makes me me? What pieces are so integral to who I am that that's not going to change regardless of what I'm doing in the outside? So if you can do the work to understand your core values and then start to look at how the world sees you and then combine that with how you see yourself, it gives you so much more clear direction. So that's kind of the process that I followed. I know this isn't I didn't put it in a very clear way, but it's what I followed in order to end up where I am now and being the most aligned I've been in a very, very long time.
That is incredibly helpful. And I don't even have anything to add to that other than just, it resonates with me so much, because the quality of your life is directly proportional to the quality of the questions that you ask yourself. And you have to ask yourself the hard questions. And sometimes you have to ask again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because our first answer wants to be what the outside world wants it to be, what we should answer. And you have to ask yourself again, is that really true? Like, is that really, really true? And I just think that that is such a great framework for anybody who's listening, who just feels completely misaligned in what they're doing. And just to take a step back and give yourself permission to take a deep breath and know that There is nothing wrong with you. You are not the first person who has ever felt this way, that it is okay, that there is a different and better way. And that if you just start taking some baby steps in the right direction, that eventually the next best step is going to reveal itself. But you have to start asking yourself questions, because if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? We can say and think and dream of our, you know, perfect life or what our perfect day would be, but there has to be, your favorite word, intentionality behind every single thing that we do, every question that we ask, every move that we make, every community that we join, every job that we say yes to, all of these things, like, they all have a cause and effect to them. Mm-hmm. So who are the women that you are helping these days transform their legal lives? And what are some of the transformations that you've seen?
Ooh, I love this. So women that I'm helping are those who feel really unfulfilled and discontentment in their career, typically legal careers, so female lawyers, and not in the sense that I'm so miserable, I just need to get out, I have no idea what to do. Like, I hold a high standard for my clients, because I see so much more for them. So I love to work with people who feel really excited and empowered to make change. These are people who have that fire inside of them, and they know that they're meant for so much more. And the four walls of their cubicle or their office are just suffocating them,
yeah,
and
closing in.
You know, yeah. Exactly. So I love to work with women who have this fire, and they know that I'm meant for so much more, and I'm done with this BS of pretending to be somebody I am not. And typically those women have already kind of gone through the ringer. They've already tried to switch jobs or law firms and have realized this just is not it. And what we typically do is start to dig into these hard questions. We start to really look at, who are you without all of this? What is your identity? And how is it that you are showing up, and who do you want to be, right? Like, if we can create the life that you actually want, what would that be? And I help them work through so many of the fears and the doubts and the and all of the rhetoric that comes up in the mind, which is what stops you from moving forward into what you want. And then we create that plan. We figure out what steps you need to take in order to make this pivot, right? So I call it the aligned pivot plan. I call it something that you are going to be able to walk away with, and knowing exactly what is next for you, having clarity on the life that you want, but also having the confidence and the courage to walk that path, which is usually the scariest thing. So we do all of that digging internally. And in the past, I mean, I've worked with such a variety of clients in law and beyond, where people are exploring what's next. And it's just beautiful to see what comes up. Like, I had a lawyer who wanted to go and get a pilot's license. I had a doctor who became an artist. You know, it's just so amazing when you allow yourself the opportunity to explore who you really are and who you were before the world told you what to be and put you in a box. What is possible? And all of these people are so much happier. They're just so much more elated, excited, and aligned with who they really are. And I think that that's what we need more of in the world. I think if we can all be doing stuff that lights us up, and we feel like we are contributing to the world and making somebody's life 1% better, honestly, I think the world would be a better place. We would have less conflict. People would just mind their own business, because we're not forcing each other to be something. We're all accepting ourselves and others as well. So that's my vision for the world and why I do the work I do.
Well, I love that vision, and I am totally on board with it. And that is, you really just summarized why having a coach is so important. I don't think people, if you've never had a coach before, or if you have not had an experience with that, it may like sound like something kind of out of left field, but I really will always, always, always have a coach in my life for that exact reason, because you always need somebody with a fresh perspective, with a new perspective, and that can hold you accountable, but then can show you the way and encourage you with their experience. It's never about having someone who's like arrived and knows how to do all the things. It's just, I'm a couple steps ahead of you and I'm throwing the rope back to you because you are worthy and made for more. And until you believe that, you can borrow my belief in you. And then we'll be even at the end of this when you realize that you're a powerhouse. So I'm so grateful for you and so excited about the work that you are doing with powerhouse women, attorneys, entrepreneurs, all the things. How can people find you and how can they work with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. That's where I spend most of my time. So I'll give you the link to put in the show notes. So feel free. Let me know that you heard me on Erin's podcast. Say hi. My DMs are always open to have a safe and confidential conversation if you are feeling unhappy or unfulfilled in your career. And I also do free consultation calls if anybody is interested in moving forward and getting support with that pivot and kind of facing some of those fears and doubts.
Oh my gosh. Please reach out to Nav. Like, I'm telling you what, she can help you just... I'm just so incredibly grateful for you. And any woman who comes into your sphere of influence is very lucky to have your coaching and your love and your insight and all the things. But before I let you go, we're going to have a little Legally Blonde moment. So I'd love if you share something a little funny that's happened lately in your life.
You know what I'm going to share.
Oh, I know.
So for everyone listening... to get to this podcast and to be able to share it with all of you, we had some technical difficulties getting on here. So we were laughing, Erin and I, about how many, you know, lawyers it takes to figure these things out. But yeah, we were bouncing around from, I don't know, one platform to another. My browser's not working. I don't know. And, you know, usually I'm pretty techie, but not today. So it's really interesting to be all prepared and poised for something and then just face a hurdle right from the beginning. But I think it also helps just loosen things up. So yeah, I was just laughing to myself. And even now, the mic I'm speaking into, I'm pretty sure it's not working. I'm talking into it as if it's working.
And truly, that's a metaphor for life, right? Like, you can have everything set up and teed up perfectly, but it's never going to go as planned. Like, that's the end of it. And you just have to be ready to pivot. That's what I told her. I was like, Nav, that's it. We're not deterred here. Like, we're going to record a podcast. I don't know how the heck we're going to do it. We're going to do it. Like, it's going to be fine. We are survivors. Yes. So anyway,
it's true. And you know, I say that all the time. You can't plan for everything. I have so many clients that tell me like, okay, I'll make the move when I've got all of my, you know, my plan is ready and I know how I'm going to face any challenges, et cetera, et cetera. I said, no, girl, that's not how it works.
No, nope.
Because you're going to face things that are completely unexpected and out of the blue. And instead of feeling like you have to have everything figured out, just have the belief in yourself that you're resilient and resourceful and you'll figure it out when the time comes.
Yes, we are ninjas. Attorneys don't realize like that we are literally some of the most capable, smart people in the world. Our brain works like nobody else's. And when leveraged for good, we can do any single thing we put our mind to, or we know how to figure it out. So I'm just so excited that you were here. Thank you so much for your time. Powerhouses, be sure to tag us on social media and share this episode. That's how we get this message out. And in the ears of more powerhouse lawyers to let them know that they are not alone and that there is a different and better way. Nav, thank you so much for joining us, powerhouses. See you next week. Thank you so much for listening into the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you catch your podcasts. If you loved this episode, I would be so honored if you left a review. And because I know you are the type of woman who wants to see other women win, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs it. By sharing it, you are empowering a fellow sister in the law to know that she is not alone, that there is nothing wrong with her, and that she can build a life and career that she loves. Thank you. See you next week. Hey, Powerhouse, as a dedicated listener to this podcast, I have curated a special place just for you. It's called the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook group. You can head on over to the show notes, click on the link, and join our community. This Facebook group is for listeners of the show, attorneys, no matter where you are in your practice. Maybe you're a law student, or maybe you're just someone fascinated by the legal profession. This Facebook group is for you. This is a community that is going to engage in discussions on episodes. You'll get special exclusives. There's valuable networking opportunities. I'll be providing some educational content. And above all, you'll get a strong, supportive community and support system. So click on the link in the show notes below to join the Powerhouse Lawyers Facebook community, where community, knowledge, passion, and collaboration thrive. Again, head on over to the show notes to click on the link to join the Facebook group for the Powerhouse Lawyers podcast. Thanks so much. See you guys there.